Hello everyone and welcome to Daily Newspaper Analysis, which is presented to you by LawSeco. So today we will be discussing the important articles from Saturday as well as today, that is Monday. So we have two articles. The first one is from Saturday's The Hindu newspaper. The title is Graft Talk and the Top Court's Continued Silence. So this talks about the relevance of contempt to court and how much is it able to actually solve the purpose of saving the dignity and the authority of the court. And whether or not this is happening will be discussed here. The second article is from today's The Indian Express, which is titled as Case for a Health Booster. So this talks about the budget and the spending that would be taken care of for the healthcare sector. So what has been the predecessor case, the current one, and the future upcoming things in this regard will be discussed here. This newspaper analysis is presented by me. My name is Sheva Khan. I am a law graduate and I have completed my law degree from Uttaranchal University with a gold medal in my badge. I have also been a national debater as well as a public speaker. And right now here at LawSeco, I'm working as an expert for current affairs and I'm also working as the manager for current affairs vertical. With this, let's discuss the first article that talks about the contempt of court and also the silence of the Indian judiciary over it. So the ex-CJI, that is the Chief Justice of India, Ranjan Gogoi, on 10th December 2021 said that the corruption is as old as society and that judges do not fall from heaven. So this basically, this statement of Justice Ranjan Gogoi has put a big question mark on the relevance as well as on the corruption-free nature of the judges of the Supreme Court specifically, as in where he says that corruption is like it is an as old as society and therefore it is much of an interwoven part of the society. And if we talk about the judges, they are not descended from the heaven, so ultimately they are also the part of the society. So this statement in a way indirectly says that corruption might be lingering in the judicial service, you know, in the judiciary as well as the judicial system as well, and this heavily implies corruption amidst the judges of the Supreme Court. Now, why the comment hurts the gravity of the topmost institution of the judicial authority needs to be seen here. That what if, you know, what is wrong if at all there is some part or some streak of corruption in the amongst the Supreme Court judges? Is there something really wrong about it? And if yes, then what is it or why do we consider it as wrong? So Justice Gogoi comment paints the entire Supreme Court in a bad color and scandalizes the institution. See, when we talk about the judiciary or the judicial system, and specifically for an institution as high or basically the highest, that is of the Supreme Court, people definitely, the only thing that they look forward or they look out of this judicial system is justice. Now, of course, justice is definitely arbitrary and equality, you know, it is completely arbitrary or antithesis of what we call as unjust behavior, inequality, or any kind of corruption. Now, if at all anyone for any reason might believe that any of these institutions or the judges in these institutions may be or might be corrupt, now this will definitely put down the value, the sanctity, as well as the trust of the people on the entire institution as a whole. And that is why this statement of Justice Ranjan Gogoi has put forward the entire Supreme Court in a bad color and is enough to scandalize the institution at large. Now, this article points out to a case which is called as the Brahma Prakash Sharma versus State of UP, which is a case from 1953, in which the Supreme Court had held that the contempt of court protects the court in its path to administer justice. Now, before moving further, what we need to understand and precise is what do we mean by contempt of court? So basically, if at all anyone makes any statement or does any act that scandalizes the authority of the court, that questions the authority of the court or puts any question on the court, so that will be considered to be a statement that is or an act that is contempt of court. Now, of course, fair criticism is definitely most welcome, but if at all there is any statement that is not based on truth or whatsoever, so that may be taken as the contempt of court. Now, a question might be springing in your minds that why at all do we need contempt of court? Does the Supreme Court or the judiciary do not even have such big a heart that they can take some of the criticism? Well, that is not the case here. The question is about the important image and the important role that these institutions play in the system. If at all, any of, you know, these statements or any worthless statements or worthless acts, they question the dignity and sanctity of these institutions, definitely it will become difficult for the public at large to keep their trust in these institutions. And that is why the contempt of court is sought to protect the court in its path to administer justice. So it was also made clear that the contempt of court was not a way to protect the judges. Now here, definitely, this institution or this entire system cannot be used for safeguarding the judges, even if they are actually involved into some corrupt activities. But this is for the dignity protection of the court or the institution at large. So Justice Gogoi had himself initiated contempt proceedings against Justice Markande Kadju, which were later dropped due to the unconditional apology which was taken by the letter. Now let's understand that why the statement coming from Justice Ranjan Gogoi is not considered to be, as you know, the ideal of all the statements. Because even during the time of Justice Gogoi as well, when he was the Chief Justice of India, there were some cases that were questionable in this direction. Let's see that 8 cases of business groups were assigned under Justice Arun Mishra. Now, as we all know that the master of the roster system is followed under the Indian judiciary, into which the Chief Justice of India has the power to decide the bench of the various cases. Now, definitely, it must have been, you know, or it could not be a coincidence or, you know, just a matter of fate that in all these 8 cases which belonged to these business groups or that were huge business groups, they were all assigned to Justice Arun Mishra. Even after the retirement of Justice Arun Mishra, this big question was raised as to how, of all these cases, he was the one who was administering these cases. And not only this, all these 8 cases were won by the said business groups. Now, this is to be a thing that we need to focus upon, that not only the cases were all assigned to Justice Arun Mishra, but all these 8 cases were also won by these business groups. And interestingly, the business house had also settled the case for 11,000 crore after a favorable judgment had been obtained by exercising court's extraordinary curative powers. So here it was also seen that a few of the cases were also looked upon in the vacation period, which definitely was not so urgent, but still they were taken on an urgency basis. And yet another expedited hearing was also held for a case in the same business group, and should the judges be corrupt, Justice Gogoi would himself be self-incriminating himself. So definitely he might also have a few stains of what he is calling as the problem of corruption in the Indian judicial system. Definitely that is a matter to be pondered and to be looked upon, but he himself cannot be considered to be having a clean chit in this direction. So the crony capitalism has been a lingering curse in the country, and Supreme Court has come down heavily on it in the past. And in the case of allegations leveled against the Supreme Court, the court can initiate contempt charges without waiting for the Attorney General to initiate the same. And that is why choosing to remain silent on issue only serves to remove the faith reposed by the citizens on the Supreme Court. And Supreme Court definitely should take it very carefully that its dignity and its sanctity is not at all, in no way, harmed amongst the people's eye. Let's see the next article, which is from today's The Indian Express, which is about spending in the healthcare system. So it is now unanimously hoped that the new budget shall increase spending in healthcare and in a cadre of skilled medical workers. As we know that the hit and the blow which was given to the Indian healthcare system by coming off the COVID-19 pandemic, it was very clearly seen, and definitely it brought to the forefront that the Indian healthcare system was definitely not equipped to fight with pandemic as large as COVID-19. Even till date, if we talk about it, so we are not able to provide a lot of, you know, services which are basic minimal. You all are aware of the, you know, the shortage of beds, oxygen, nurses, as well as doctors in the entire country. So that is why it is being unanimously, that is it, which means that everyone is, you know, into the heart hoping that the new budget, which is very soon to be released, shall increase spending in the healthcare system, and it will be, you know, in a cadre of skilled medical workers as well. So let's see that what was the past, the present, as well as the future of the healthcare system, specifically with the eye of budget or the spending, government spending in this direction. So in 2021, the spending in healthcare was increased by 137% by inaugurating Pradhan Mantri Atmanirbhar Swasthya Bharat Yojana for 64,180 crore rupees, which was a good and a very nice move on the platter. So the government further rolled in anti-pollution rollouts for a holistic growth. However, the increase in the allocation to the health ministry was only a meager of 11%, which definitely did not reap out a good, you know, or the expected results that we were really looking forward to. Then linking the Pradhan Mantri Jan Arogya Yojana and comprehensive primary healthcare creates for a connected delivery system, wherein it says that from the very primary system, that is, you know, when we talk about the villages, the primary healthcare or primary healthcare centers, the municipal hospitals, then moving to the district hospitals and to their, you know, most advanced hospitals. So all of these should be linked with the Pradhan Mantri Jan Arogya Yojana, and thus an all-encompassing approach should be followed for this matter. Now, the budget of 2022 must fund these missions adequately and also indicate how they will come together synergistically. Now, here what we need to see is that India is not short of policies in healthcare. We already have amazing policies running in this direction. For example, two of them we have already talked about, like the Pradhan Mantri Jan Arogya Yojana. We also have the comprehensive primary healthcare system. Then we have the Ayushman Bharat. We have the Asha workers, the Anganwadi workers. So all of these work in the direction of providing better healthcare to the entire nation. Now the problem here we have are twofold. Firstly, that these policies are short on funds. Definitely, if the funds are not provided, there will be a problem. And no matter how well you have, you know, planned a particular thing, you will not be able to execute it because you are short on funds. And the second problem, even if they have some funds, we are not able to synergize the energy. Now, by this we mean that there are a lot of policies which can work in coordination with each other, and with proper data sharing and coordination, we can have the best of the output with lesser efforts and obviously with lesser wastage of money. So these two things need to be cared that funds are provided to these policies and they can work interchangeably and also in a coordination with each other. So the National Health Mission, another of the steps, you know, that we have taken in this direction, too needs to needs infusion of funds as urban primary healthcare facilities need to be more operational. So definitely National Health Mission, which is also, you know, the Poshan Abhiyan, is very important in providing right nutrition as well as the right health standards to the nation so that the chances of falling ill and falling prey to diseases also reduce. So the Digital Health Mission, which is another level up in this direction, too, needs proper surveillance and guidance since it can help us with, first, better data collection and analysis about the population. Now, of course, with better data, we know the prospects of the people. We know what kind of diseases they are suffering from. For example, tuberculosis, anemia, which are primary in amongst the Indian population. Second, improved medical and health records so that we can, you know, without wastage of time, these records, digitally preserved records, can help us, you know, make the process smoother and also have a long lasting record of these entire reports and data. Then efficient supply chain management and support for health workforce and training, and telehealth services and real-time monitoring and sharper evaluation of health program performance. Now, as you know, that during the time of COVID-19, also online counseling and online, you know, diagnosis of various kinds of diseases, and also, you know, online, basically one another or one-to-one chat was also possible with the doctor and patient. And this was the telehealth service also, you know, when we are talking about the online delivery of medicine. So all of these are the digital systems that can make the entire healthcare system more efficient and targeted. So the increased funding must also be infused in the health workforce sector to make the healthcare system truly functional. Definitely, as we were discussing, funding is the soul of the entire system. And district hospitals too need to be upgraded while making them into training centers as well in undeserved regions. So of course, wherein, you know, the in-house hospitals or the in-house doctors, nurses can also practice and get training in these district hospitals so that the trained or skilled workforce can increase at large. Now, along with the increased central expenditure for increasing infrastructure, it should also be noted that an increase in operational expenditure is required, wherein not only just, you know, the infrastructure is built, but also we have the right things to run the infrastructure. For example, we might have an X-ray machine or we have better machines in the hospitals, but there could be long power cuts which might make it difficult for these machines to run. So we do not only have the infrastructure, we should also have the operational, you know, expenditure should be there that can actually help in operation or the real execution of these services. So the monetary resources saved from having to procure vaccines must immediately be channelized into non-COVID healthcare system. Now, as we know that since the time COVID has sprung up in the society, we have not been able to pay attention to various other massacres that are, you know, taking place, like for example, tuberculosis and anemia, as well as the, you know, falling nutritional levels amongst the children. So definitely focus should be laid on these issues as well. And the ambit of health should be expanded to align other sectors to public health objectives as well, and an whole or, you know, an overall approach should be followed for the best of the outcomes. So this was all for the day. We hope you liked the session. If you liked it, please do give it a thumbs up. Also, if you wish to download the PDF of today's slides, you can join our Telegram channel. The link is there in the description box below, or you can scan our QR code that you can see on your screens right now. Also, please follow us on our official Instagram channels for other crisp and exam-oriented content for Judiciary, CLAT Prep, UGC NET, as well as Law Finance exams. Thank you so much.